everybody, and welcome to our Good Friday service. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and from all of our staff and our pastors, we just want to say welcome. We're honored that you're here with us, and we want you to know that we've put a lot of time and effort and energy into honoring Jesus tonight as we have a service where we just want to reflect very deeply on what Good Friday is all about. Now, before we get into our service, I do want to make you aware, if you're a parent with young children here, we did our best to authentically represent what Jesus would have endured on the day of his suffering. And so some of what we will see in the screens tonight is very graphic. Again, just out of a desire to just authentically show what Jesus went through for us. So if you have young children, we want you to be aware that our childcare is available. If you would like to, up through fourth grade, through the doors right over there on your right. If you go right out there, there's a little hallway, and we have some childcare available back there. If you prefer that option, you're more than welcome to do that. We also want to say thank you. This production, tonight's service, took an amazing team of volunteers everywhere from the people who originally came up with the idea, wrote the scripts. We had people who helped with costumes and makeup, and they did amazing jobs. The worship team, who has put together some awesome worship for tonight. We have a choir. The people that did the filming and the editing, I mean, there was really a lot of time put into this. And so from all of the pastors and staff, we just want to express our deep gratitude to them. Tonight's service would not be possible without their time and their talents. And so thank you if you were a part of this. Thank you so very much for helping us put this together. Now, tonight's service is intended to be a little bit interactive. It's meant to be reflective. We are leaning heavy into the suffering of our Savior. It's odd that we call today Good Friday, because it's only in light of Resurrection Sunday that we know what took place today was actually good. But tonight we want to look back through the eyes of four people, three of whom would have been followers of Jesus from the very beginning. So they spent years with Jesus, watching him perform miracles, doing the miraculous, hearing his teachings. And then we're going to look at one Roman soldier who would have participated in the crucifixion of Christ. And we're going to experience Good Friday through their eyes. What would it have been like to be there on that day, not knowing that Sunday was coming? And to just sit in this moment with them. It's sometimes really easy for us to just go, Sunday's coming, and we can rejoice and we can celebrate, and we completely skip the fact that our Savior suffered so greatly for us. And so tonight we want to just reflect in that moment, and we want to walk through it with these people who would have been there. And so we've done our best to imaginatively, but as authentically as we can to the stories we have in Scripture, portray these characters and what they might have felt on this night. And so again, we just want to thank you for being here. When we have portions where we're worshiping, we encourage you, worship freely. You're free to do that. But please be reflective with us tonight and think deeply about what Jesus did for us. We're going to start with some prayer. So if you would, bow your heads, close your eyes, and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just, God, we do thank you for the day that we get to call Good Friday. And tonight, as we reflect, as we look back, as we think deeply about what this day means and what Jesus did for us through his great suffering, Lord, I pray that you would just do something in each and every one of us. God, we do just thank you for it. And we pray that tonight, Father, what we have prepared, God, what we've labored over, we pray that it would bring honor and glory to your Son. Father, may Jesus be glorified tonight above all else. Father, we pray that tonight no one leaves here thinking, what a great production. We pray that they leave here thinking, what an amazing Savior. So, Father, just do your great work in our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just fill this room. Give us hearts that are receptive. Give us minds that understand. Give us ears to hear what you would speak to us tonight through this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I had a troubled past. On the outside, it might have looked like I had it all. Magdala, that's where I lived, wasn't lacking in wealth or opportunity. I should have been able to make a good life for myself. Wealth and status couldn't protect me from Satan and the ways he found to play on my weaknesses. Satan got his claws in me. His hold was so strong that I ended up possessed by 7 demons. Possessed. I was tortured by everything you can imagine. Depression, anxiety, anger, fear, wicked thoughts, even physically tortured. I became an outcast from family and friends. The whole city knew my reputation. I was treated like a leper. There was no hope for me. When I heard about this man named Jesus, everyone was talking about, I got angry. Jesus heals, they said. He sets people free. No. Even he couldn't help someone like me. Not everyone can be saved. The more I heard about Jesus, the more I wanted to disappear. I wanted to die. I would beg the demons, please, kill me. End it. Death is what I deserve. I thought, no one as horrible as me deserves to live. No one like me deserves a second chance. But Jesus was looking for me. He was searching for me. He sought me out. In all my failures, despite my twisted thoughts and deepest desires in all of it, he didn't reject me. He came for me. What he did is still unbelievable when I think about it. I was such a mess, but he cleaned me up. He made me whole. When I met my King Jesus, I was completely and fully known for the truth of what I was. And still, I was completely and fully loved.
Fully known and loved by you. give me so much. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what I do, it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so unusual, it's frightening. I'm fully known, fully known and loved by you.
I still don't know why Jesus chose me to be one of his disciples. I wasn't worthy of following him. I wasn't important. I didn't deserve his time up close with him, experiencing his way of life. The things that I witnessed, miracles. So many miracles. I saw blind eyes opened and the sick recover with just a word from him. And so many people fed from one little boy's lunch. And some things I'll never be able to fully explain. Jesus was perfect love. He was perfect love as a human. He was good in ways I'd never seen before. Every word, every action, there was nothing to criticize. Though many people tried. I find it ironic that somebody so good would have such a crowd of people who wanted him dead. I remember once they gathered around him and backed him to the edge of a cliff. He wasn't afraid. He knew it wasn't his time to die. Jesus had been warning us of what was to come, but the others and I didn't understand the real weight of what he was saying until that night in the garden. But we'd been traveling and we were all tired. It was hard to stay awake. I tried, I did, but I drifted in and out of sleep when I should have been watching. That night, something was different. Jesus' prayers were filled with an anxiety, this dread that I'd never heard from him before. Whatever he was facing, it took everything in him to hold his course. He started sweating blood. I don't even know how that happens. I remember he was begging God to take this burden from him. And I was trying to figure out what burden he was talking about. And even as I wondered, I heard him say, he calmed himself. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." As perfect as he was, Son of the living God, as much as he understood the reason behind what was about to happen to him, the cost to obey God was more than I can ever imagine. He had to fight through his emotions just like me, which makes what I did that night even harder to forgive myself for. Jesus was arrested in the garden, taken into custody by Roman guards like a criminal. This had never happened before. I mean, there'd been threats, but never follow through. And in that defining moment, outside the high priest's house next to the fire when it mattered. I was a coward. And I told the people around me that I never knew him. I denied my king. The one that I'd followed for years, that I'd served. I watched him perform miracles. And what makes it worse is earlier that day, Jesus had told me I would deny him. And I didn't believe him. I didn't think it was possible. How could I deny him? That's exactly what I did. He chose me and he cared for me. And I turned my back on him to save my own skin. How could I deny my king like that?
I admit, when the orders came down to finally deal with this Jesus character, I was relieved. He had been creating an uproar in the towns and villages nearby. I didn't expect for the order to come down to crucify him, though. So when the order did come down to crucify him, we knew we needed to make it a good one. It was our job to shut people up. And the best way to do that was to make an example out of Jesus they'd never forget. So we started with scourging. Cat of nine tails was my whip of choice. Nine tips of metal and sheep bone for deep lacerations. Iron balls for deep bruising. It's very effective. I made sure that all the men got a turn. One of the soldiers got this idea. A king wears a crown, right? So we decided to make him one. We grabbed a thorny vine that was nearby. His hands were tore up. But he didn't stop till the job was done. And then he handed the crown to me to put on Jesus's head. When I put that thing on, you should have seen how deep those thorns went in, like knives. And then another soldier got an idea too. He grabbed a piece of fabric, threw it around Jesus's shoulders. The king needs a robe too, right? We presented him to his audience, their king. That was a sight. And we took that robe off of his back, you should have seen the shock on their faces. I guess they hadn't realized how much we had butchered his back. And we all started laughing at him. I mean, some king, powerless. But then, this feeling, it gripped me, and I thought, what if he really was the Son of God? What if he was this Messiah, the King of the Jews that they all talked about? And I'm going to hell for what I've done.
The last time I saw Jesus, I couldn't help but cry. I mean, here was my best friend, my brother, my Messiah. He was beaten, bloody, weak. carrying his own cross to the crucifixion. No one could survive what they were putting him through. The cross was rough wood, probably around 100 pounds. With all the blood and sweat, it just kept slipping, taking splinters deep into his skin, which was already nothing but open wounds. I watched him carry it uphill to Golgotha. The others, his mother and I, were in the crowd, walking in step with him until he couldn't go any further. One of the soldiers grabbed a man out of the crowd and forced him to carry Jesus' cross the rest of the way. It should have been me. Why didn't I help him? They reached the top of the hill. The soldiers laid the wooden beams together and began to nail the cross. And then they nailed him to the cross. I'd seen crucifixions before, but this one was different. Soldiers were vicious. And they wanted to cause as much pain as possible. So they took the nail and drove it right through his wrist. Right through that nerve that sends pain like fire up into your shoulder. They raised him on the cross. His shoulders dislocated almost immediately. He was so weak he just hung there. Broken. There was nothing he could do. Couldn't even take a full breath. But he was conscious. But you know what? He never fought back. Never begged. Never cursed. And when he could speak, all he said was, I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing.
Closer than I've ever been. Oh, we will. in your side. 39 lashes brought me back to life. And before resurrection, and there was a grave, and in hell there was a battle, and my life was saved. Oh, we will remember. Oh, Jesus, I say.
Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. The soldiers mocked him and laughed when he said this. They were even taking bets on the clothes he was wearing the night he was arrested. All but the head guard. He just stood there, watching Jesus. I remember he turned and looked at me when Jesus said, "John, take care of my mother." for she is your mother now. I mean, he's on the cross, and he's worried about his own mother. The guard must have felt sorry for him when he said this, because he raised up a sponge filled with vinegar for Jesus to drink. You see, vinegar dulls the pain, but it was too late. Jesus was already dying. And that's when he said his last words. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
Over.
This can't be over. This can't be the way that it ends. You didn't even fight. You didn't resist. You didn't do anything. You just let them do it. I would have fought. I left. I abandoned you. This can't be how this goes.
Thank you.
For me. But this couldn't have been what you meant, could it?
Was he really God? Really a king? If so, he could have stopped us. Why didn't he? He's dead. I think I just tortured and murdered the most powerful man, or God, that ever existed.
You told us this would happen. He would torture and kill you, but you would rise again. This couldn't have been what you meant, was it? I'm just so confused. What do we do now without you here?
Jesus, I don't understand. This wasn't how it was supposed to happen. You were supposed to rescue us. You said you'd never leave us. What are we supposed to do now? This can't be how it is.
Let every knee bow before the King of Kings. Let every tongue confess that He is Lord. Let every knee come bow before the King of Kings. Let every tongue confess that He is Lord.
In the house if you can. Though you and I've just watched an amazing production, Good Friday is so much more than just a production. It's real. It was the darkest day of history ever written. And somehow our King's suffering became our greatest thing that could happen. You know, these characters gave us things to really reflect on tonight. But the one thing that stuck out to me is that Jesus came for you. This Friday, He sought me out. He thought about you when he was on that cross. Luke 19:10 says that for the Son of Man, which was Jesus, came to seek and save those who are lost. Those like Mary, lost in this world, those troubled by their past, taken and gripped by fear and anxiety and depression, oppressed by the devil, some even possessed. Some of us know people that are bound and tormented by the claws of the enemy that's hanging on to them. But tonight, no matter who you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Good Friday was for you. Amen. It was to save you. It was to forgive you. It was to heal you. It's to make you whole. Not just spiritually, not just wipe your sins away, but emotionally, mentally, and physically heal you and make you whole. He knows you. Do you get that? I know you, but he knows you. He knows your darkest thoughts, evil. He knows the good ones. And he knows when you're on your game. But he knows when you're faking too. We remember this king. We remember when we think of him. Do you think of perfect love? Perfect. Because I'm reminded that he's not a God of second chances, but a God of another chance. And another chance. And another chance. I look at my own life, and as Peter was sharing his failures, you know, I reflect on my own inner coward. I reflect on my own failures, and as many times as I have failed him, he has not failed me once. He was beyond stressed about the cross, beyond, but he knew he had come to complete his purpose. He was going to do what the will of his Father was. The Bible says that because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. He did it. He finished the course. He completed what God had purposed for him to do. He was tempted in every way, yet still perfect. Psalms 86:15 says, "But you, O Lord, are compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." As many times as Peter doubted while he walked on the water, took his eyes off of Christ, as many times as he denied Jesus, Jesus still reached down and saved him from sinking. He still reached out and brought him back and forgave him after he denied him. Not once, not twice, but three times. God does something great for Peter. He doesn't just forgive him, save him, reach down and pick him up. He restores Peter. In fact, so much that he asks Peter to build his church. Do you realize that in spite of all your doubting, in spite of all your failures, God chooses Jesus chooses you to do what he asks you to do. As we examine ourselves, we reflect on the soldier. Do we truly believe he's the king of all kings? Do we doubt who he is? Do we find ourselves doubting what he's able to do? He could have called down legions of angels to save himself, but he didn't. Is it possible that you and I have become so hard-hearted, like this Roman soldier, that we can't see him? Isaiah 53:6 says, "He," meaning Jesus, "was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole, and he was whipped so we could be healed. When you would call upon his name, the Bible says that you will be saved. See, it should have been me on that cross. It was my sin. It was your sin that put him there. But he didn't expect for us to pay for that price. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet even though the Lord laid on him the sins of us all, he became my sin bearer, my substitute, your sacrifice. This is what Good Friday's about. He didn't have to, but he chose to. The perfect lamb took the sins of the world, laid down his life, and took my place. As he takes his last breath, the sky goes dark and the earth begins to quake. And this veil in the temple, it says it was torn from the top all the way down to the bottom. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross on Friday was accepted by God in heaven for your and I sin. No longer was the holy place taken away from any of us, but now we boldly get to walk into the place where we get to commune with God. This is what Christ did for us. He's the only way that you and I can get to heaven through Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. He's not just a king. He's the king of all kings. This Good Friday, as Christians, I want us to feel the weight. Do you get that? It's okay to feel the weight. Settle in as you watched what our Christ and our Savior went through for you. Look at him. Remember what he did. It's okay to be somber for tonight, for tomorrow, until you come to church on Sunday, because we know Sunday's on the way. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But reflection is good for you and I. But maybe you're here tonight and you related to one of the four characters in the production. And you don't know Jesus, but you need to know him tonight. I'm going to ask in this house that everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to invite you to accept and receive this perfect sacrifice, the picture of perfect love. That's who Jesus is. It's for all who believe. All. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your size. Doesn't matter whether you're female or male. Doesn't matter your social status. And believe it or not, there's nothing too far gone. There's nothing that our Savior cannot redeem. There's nothing that our Savior cannot forgive. This is who he is. Maybe you're a sheep that's gone astray and you've been living your own way. Tonight, this Good Friday, it's time to come home. He's a God of another chance. He believes in you. He's reaching for you. He's been looking for you. Our King chooses you. I'm asking you tonight on this Good Friday. I'm asking you to be bold. I'm asking you to take a step. I'm asking you that as your Christ laid naked in the open, he was bruised, he was stripes upon his back for your healing. I'm asking you to step out tonight and say boldly, I want to accept this King. if you've gone away, if you're here today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I need Jesus, then tonight's your night. And now is the time. Is there anyone that would say, I desire to be saved tonight? I want to come home. I've been running on my own accord. And I've missed the mark so far that I don't even know God can fix this mess. Mary thought the same thing. And he fixed her mess. Is there anyone that would say yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask that everyone say this prayer with me tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. I remember what you've done for me. Thank you. Thank you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. If there's anything standing between you and I, remove it. Be Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me. I believe in you. And I know you're the way, the truth, and the life. I choose you because you first chose me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, I'm glad you came to spend your Friday night with us. I really challenge you to let this sit in your heart and in your mind. Really reflect and take time to feel the weight of what his suffering looked like. Everyone wants the victory of Christ, but no one wants to walk through any suffering in this life. I'd like to say that life's full of only victory, but it's not. Trial and tribulation will come to each and every one of us. And when it does, those who believe in Christ and call upon his name shall be saved. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 7 a.m. for our sunrise service, which, God willing, will be outside this year. We're excited about that, to have a new experience. And then Sunday morning at 10, and we expect to hear about our risen Savior. Thank you. Love you all.
Let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. 'Cause he's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. Let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. 'Cause he's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. So hello peace, hello joy, hello, love.